is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Welcome to the Wednesday show. Getting ready for Thanksgiving. Big week around here and some schedule changes. Jamie and I are here. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, buddy.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How you feeling?
I feel good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Oh, this is a great week. Love Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Happy to be home. Great weather. 71 and sunny. Something like that.
Yeah, you're still wearing a hoodie.
It's freezing in this office. It's always freezing in this Fort Lauderdale office. So today, Jamie and I are going to do the Wednesday show. We're going to talk about...
We're doing it on Wednesday.
Yes, we're going to talk about playoff matchups, players with good and bad schedules. Would you believe what you got to deal with in Week 15? Andrew Luck at Minnesota, Tom Brady at Denver, Drew Brees at Arizona in Week 15. So get ahead of the game and pick up Colin Kaepernick and Tyrod Taylor now as they have Atlanta and Cleveland.
Let me just ask you something while you're there.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you made it that far and Tom Brady's been Tom Brady, knowing that he went into Denver last year and lit up the Broncos last year.
No, he scored like 23 fantasy points, I think. I'd have to look it up, but I know he was
the
only
one.
I'll take a look
while we're talking.
He's the only one who last year in 10 home games, the playoffs, the only guy who had more than 20 fantasy points.
But he's that guy, though.
He's the only one of the three that I wouldn't close to automatically sit. Maybe that's a little strong, but I was talking about this with Heath this morning, and he said, are you really going to bench those guys? I would bench Luck at Minnesota as of right now. Like, if they were playing this week, forget the concussion, I would probably bench Breeze at Arizona. Brady would be tougher.
29 points. 29, at Denver,
okay.
Last year.
All right.
See, here's the thing about that, though. Those guys are difference-making type of players. Where's Breeze?
Arizona.
That's the one that makes me the most nervous.
Luck at Minnesota doesn't?
Not so much, because he's one of those guys that can...
They all are.
But there's a track record of historically Breeze out. Like, we saw it last week. I don't think Breeze was bad. Thursday night against Carolina.
Yeah, what did he end up with?
19.
19?
Yeah. And it took kind of garbage time for him to get there.
It's dangerous. Yeah, it's just interesting.
But the point would be is that if these guys have gotten you to that point.
I don't really believe that. I don't really buy that theory.
No, but I'm talking about the players you're naming. Like, if Kaepernick goes into the tank over the next couple weeks. I don't think he will this week, but over the next few weeks. Or Taylor, let's say Watkins comes back, gets hurt again.
Yeah.
Are you going to start those guys just because they put up 20-point games?
You don't know what you're going to do in Week 15, right? It's lock and change. I'd like to at least have the option. So if you own those three quarterbacks, maybe you want to see if you can get Taylor or Kaepernick or someone else. Maybe you try to make a trade.
Okay, and I'll give you another scenario. You're planning ahead now. You're 8-2 or 8-3. 9-2.
I'm 11-0.
You're 11-0.
Right.
Okay. Of course you are. are you picking up guys like Tyrod Taylor or Colin Kaepernick if you're in the scenarios, or speculating on Adrian Peterson? Or obviously Sammy Watkins is going to play sooner than that, but Ameer Abdullah, who's now getting some good news, or somebody at a difference-making position.
Yeah, the thing about...
I saw you picked up Peterson in one league. I picked him up in a couple leagues.
I did? All right, actually, I was going to do something fun. I'll tell you in a second. But
you don't know your waiver moves.
No, I was going to look him up right now and see if you approved. I haven't taken a look. But I got to tell you real quick about Buffalo Wild Wings, because no team goes into the season without a game plan, and Buffalo Wild Wings knows that football fans need a game plan that's built for game day glory. A game plan that should include 21 signature sauces and seasonings, a great lineup of beer taps, and an arsenal of wall-to-wall TVs. And all of those details make for a game day game plan that can't be beat. So win or lose, if you're a football fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere around. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. We do it for you because you're a football fan. All right, yeah, so it is interesting. I guess it's a little dependent on the situation. But I think if you own Breeze, if you own Brady, if you own Luck, Week 15 kind of stinks. You know, like, that's not the matchup you wanted to see for those guys. And
well, Rodgers has a tough stretch.
Rodgers has a very tough stretch.
So, but we've seen him, you know, come through some of these tougher games.
Yeah,
not
I know.
Not necessarily same level of opponent.
If he's going to throw this much, I don't know that the matchup matters.
But I think that's kind of the same for all these guys, though.
I don't know. You think so? Luck at Minnesota? Because Luck hasn't even been that great this year.
I don't. Well, we've seen Luck, like the Packers game. They
bad.
They benefited though. Like the team played really well.
Yeah, but he was bad. He had the interceptions.
He didn't have a great fantasy game. Last week he was on his way. They're up. I don't know how many times they're going to be up. That's the problem.
But Luck has had two great games this year.
Yeah, he's been he's underperformed.
Yeah,
without a doubt. But I think part of that though is circumstantial. Did not Moncrief for a good portion of the season. That's a tremendous red zone threat from him, as we've seen. He scored an 8 of 10 games going back to last year.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a pretty good ratio. You know, the tight ends have been sort of hit or miss. That's a big part of it. And they've run the ball better.
But the circumstance here is he's at Minnesota.
Right, and I think...
And it's going to be freezing. Oh, they're indoors. They're indoors. But the walk to the stadium.
The walk to the stadium, yes.
I mean, it's
so much colder than the walk to the stadium in Indianapolis.
It probably is. It probably is.
Tremendous difference. That 5 degrees is probably a lot worse.
So I'm just trying to think of other
Look, it's a downgrade. Clearly, it's a downgrade. But I don't think, for me personally, and we've all been victim of this before, you start to overthink things. It's Tyrod Taylor. He's got this streak of 6 of 7 of 20 or more fantasy points. And then he has the situation like we saw against Cincinnati.
Well, last year it was Brees in week 16 outdoors, right? I think I remember going through this last year with Drew Brees.
I'll go to the machine.
Yeah, take a look. All right, in the meantime, let's just talk about the waiver wire a little bit. And, you know, one guy I put in, you would know my claims better than I would. I'm going to look him up right now.
Well, I just know the leagues we're in. I like to see the other people get picked up.
Yeah.
You know what I really do? I don't really look at who gets picked up, but I just happen to see Peterson jumped out to me and I saw you picked him up.
I have a $5 coupon to CVS. Nice. That's good. Just looking at my emails
here. I always look to see who gets dropped.
Oh, I didn't pick up Matt Bryant in this league, so that was the thing I was going to say. If Matt Bryant is still out there, take a look, because Will Brinson just picked him up in our two quarterback league after waivers ran.
I was surprised you picked up Bryant and dropped Vinatieri.
For this week. First of all, Bryant's been better than Vinatieri. They've been about the same.
Slightly.
And so I figure they're kind of equal, and I'm very worried about the Colts this week. So even Vinatieri felt droppable for me in this specific scenario.
Because of Tolzien, you worried?
Yeah. I'm worried about all of them. How about you?
Not so much Gore. Worried, but not so much worried. I downgraded Hilton. When I first ranked my receivers this week on Monday, he was third.
And now
he's 17. And Moncrief, you know how much I like Moncrief.
I just told my friend to start Tyrell Williams over.
I don't like Tyrell Williams this week at all.
Against Houston?
Yeah, their corners are so good.
Okay. Interesting. I'm very worried about T.Y. Hill. I'm not starting Moncrief. I'm starting Crabtree over Moncrief.
I would do that too.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to those three Thanksgiving games, by the way.
Every league where I have Moncrief, I have A.J. Green. So I have to start Moncrief.
This is a big hit for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
That sucks, man. I thought about you because I know how invested you were in A.J. Green. I only have Green in one league.
I don't know what you're talking about with Breeze last year, maybe 2 years ago, because he finished with... two home games in the playoffs, and he was awesome. Or maybe it was week 14 at Tampa Bay?
Maybe. I don't remember. I'm sure he's had some road games in the fantasy playoffs before. So Matt Bryan was the guy I looked for. It was funny, as I went into the waiver wire thinking, this is going to be a big week of waiver wire. I even called it the most loaded waiver wire that we've had all year because we had these running back injuries. I didn't make that many ads because it looks like a lot of the running backs are coming back.
Everybody was... owned in a lot of leagues. Smallwood was the one that was the most available, and Gillislee in a few leagues too. But like you said, these guys are coming back, or at least healthy, in McCoy. Smallwood could be a huge difference maker for a lot of people this week because the Packers, just we were talking about this as Adam was having some technical difficulties, the Packers in their last four games have allowed 8 touchdowns to running backs, and 3 guys in the last 4 have had multiple touchdowns. And so... if you think the Eagles do what they did to the Falcons a couple weeks ago, which is try and dominate time of possession, lean on their running, you know, ground control game, that would be Smallwood over Sproles if Matthews is out.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We don't know about Matthews.
He's probably not going to play.
All right,
sprained MCL for him is probably a bad situation.
Yeah. All right. With that said, here's the news. Andrew Luck, highly unlikely to play tomorrow against Pittsburgh. Vontae Davis may not play in that game. Stephon Diggs dealing with a knee injury. Where do you have Diggs ranked right now?
Mid-20s. Okay. I'd consider him a starter if he plays, but we've seen this guy. Remember, he had the groin injury, and he wasn't playing very well.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Could be tough.
Let's see what else we got. DeAndre Levy could play this week, tomorrow against Minnesota, and Theo Riddick questionable with an ankle injury. Do you think Riddick plays?
He's been dealing with this for a while.
So okay. Yes. And what's the deal with Rob Gronkowski?
I don't know.
What's the deal with LeSean McCoy?
Sounds like he's going to play, although Rex Ryan was less optimistic than we originally thought coming off of the reports after he had the surgery. So I think it's wait and see. I had this question, which I thought was very interesting because I like both these guys respectively, even as backups, Gillis Lee or Kenneth Dixon. Somebody asked me that on Twitter. Who do I like better? And I think Dixon's a good sleeper this week because the Bengals, I think, are a little bit of a broken team at this point. But Gillis Lee could be great, clearly.
Yeah,
so I would certainly go pick him up if he's out there because yep. I think a lot of people maybe shied off of it after hearing the McCoy news.
And, yeah, I noticed you're picking up Rex Burkhead, by the way, in a sort of separate conversation, a couple of PPR leagues. What do you expect from Rex Burkhead?
Not much. Just kind of speculating just to see. You know, it's leagues where been sitting on Damien Williams with the thought that if Jay Ajayi got hurt, and there's still value there, obviously, as a handcuff. But, when you get hit by injuries like this and you need to kind of speculate on some guys, Burkhead could be, if he gets Geo's touches,
right?
Then that's a nice situation as in a 14-team league or 16-team league type of deal.
And TJ Yeldon, do we know?
Don't. We saw Chris Ivory over 100 total yards, second time in his last three games. So he's a nice little potential flex option for you this week.
And Alan Barber, the Eagles' left guard, is moving to right tackle. They have an injury on their offensive line. I don't know how much that's going to affect your thoughts. Heath and I are going to preview the NFC home games later today to air tomorrow. And then Chris Towers and I are going to do the Friday podcast. We're going to preview the AFC home games and recap the Thanksgiving games. But the right tackle that got hurt for the Eagles, you know, pronounce his name?
No.
Halapulavati Vaitai.
Sounds right.
Got it. Yeah. So they got the Monday nighter, and we got time. Dick Vitale. He got hurt. I got some fantasy questions for you.
Okay.
Well, first of all, tell me a couple of players. Since you weren't on the show yesterday, and this
no.
is the only show you're doing this week, actually. So you
yes.
have your surgery on Friday.
Yes.
Tell me a few players that you really like this week.
I like Thomas Rawls. He's our start of the week.
All right. I'm gonna start him over Spencer Ware.
Yes.
All right.
He has a very good track record. Small track record, but a good track record of when he gets 15 or more touches.
Yeah.
And I would imagine he's going to get 15 or more touches.
Yeah, I think so.
This week. I think it's happened 8 times in his career. 7 of them he's gotten at least 10 or more fantasy points. And the Bucks, I think it's 10 times they've given up 15 or more touches, and 7 of those guys have gotten 10 or more fantasy points.
All right.
So workload, I think, is good. Let's see. I like Dak Prescott. I think you've heard of him.
I like Crowder. You like Jameson Crowder this week?
Yes.
Boy, they can't cover slot receivers,
nope.
Those Cowboys.
Nope, Crowder's very good. I think same situation following up from last week, Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Is very good. Man, he just defying father time. I hope he plays another year.
Did you watch A Football Life, Steve Smith?
No, but I wanted to.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Princeton saw it. He got a screening of it, I guess, and he saw it before it aired, and he said it was awesome.
I saw the tease where he said when he stiff arms somebody, he wants the other guy's mother to call him.
That's ridiculous. He's crazy.
He's awesome.
Absolutely crazy. Any other guys that you found ranked higher than what you would have anticipated? I really like this guy.
Ranked higher than I would have anticipated.
Devontae Parker?
I do like Parker this week.
Yeah.
That's a good one. He's been playing great. Tannehill's been playing great. Kaepernick's been playing great.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. You know how much of luck I have, so I had to pick up Kaepernick in one league. I'm going to start him. I actually picked up both Kaepernick and Tannehill, so I can kind of marinate on that, see how the offensive line's looking for the Dolphins, see what their running game
I
might
think
be
the
like.
Offensive line is, if it, you may be leaning toward this.
This is what we said yesterday.
If the offensive line's good, you'd shy away from Tannehill. Yeah, I don't think it matters, to be honest with you.
You don't think so?
I think he's going to be in the same range of 18 to 20.
Yeah, all right.
Healthy or not healthy, because you can't like Parker and feel somewhat good about Landry and not feel good about Tannehill.
Right.
I don't see that. Like, I don't see him falling below 17 points.
Yeah. And so then it'll be Kaepernick or Tannehill. We'll make that decision. All right, now here's some other questions. These are more fun. When should the trade deadline be?
This week.
Should fantasy owners who are eliminated from playoff contention be allowed to trade in a non-keeper league?
Like, completely eliminated or just on the cut?
4-7. Can't make the playoffs.
4-7 to me is probably the cutoff.
Well, let's just say, like, specifically, you know this person's eliminated from the playoff contention. I say no. No trades.
I would agree.
Okay, good. How many owners should make the playoffs in a 10-team league?
4.
Yeah, I screwed that up. I looked at our rejects league, and I was about to send a note, because Heath completely neglected his co-commissioner responsibility. So I was going
to
send
a
note.
A lot.
Yeah. And
it's because you're so responsible.
And it was so responsible. I didn't even check the league rules. Six teams make the playoffs out of 10, which is great for us because we're sixth. But
rallied.
Yeah, yeah. We have a good. We're killing it now.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, man, he's destroying it. How many in a 12-team league?
Six.
How many in a 14-team league?
I could go either way on that, six or eight, but I would probably say six still.
Can you do seven? Give one owner a bye.
I think it's probably too tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably too tricky because then you're left with three. Yeah. No, you could do that. Then you have three games. Yeah, you could do that. I think that works. First, you get a bye for the first owner. Then in the first round of the playoffs, you have three games going on.
Uh-huh.
You have six owners left. Three of them are eliminated, which leaves you with four. Right. Then you got semifinals. Yeah. All right. Let's go with seven. I should do that. Next year, Podcast League, seven. Best way to determine playoff spots?
I think it's, well, obviously record would be one. Divisions or no divisions?
Yeah, divisions.
See, I think then you got to do division record, too.
Division winners?
Division winners should get a bye.
Uh-huh.
And then best record should get this wild card.
Let's say we're in a 12-team league and we got six spots.
Okay, so the two division winners.
Right.
And then the next four teams are best record, and then the tiebreakers points.
Do you put in a special clause for the points leader in case he's been very unlucky?
You can, but then the problem is that if you put that person sixth, that's a very unfair situation to either the three or the one if there's no buys, because you're putting that person against a very good team, where traditionally, like the four five matchup would be more beneficial than the 3-6.
I think there should maybe be a payout. If you play in a league with like a high enough entry fee, I've only played in one league like that. It was a baseball league.
Yeah.
And the at the end of the regular season, the points leader, whether that owner made the playoffs or not, got a portion of the payout.
We do that in the league I play with some my ironically enough buddies from softball.
Oh.
And so I was very unlucky last year, but I was number one in points, and that was a league where I was relying heavily on Andy Dalton and Thomas Rawls, and in week one of the playoffs in the first quarter. And I said this on Sunday. I was like, this feels very eerily similar to week 14, how it all was unfolding.
Man. Yeah, I was upset about A.J. Green, but because I really like my two quarterback league team, and I have Julio and Green, and it's PPR. Mm-hmm. But then I said, you know what? 10-team league, I can get by a wide receiver. This probably helps me more than it hurts me because I only own Green in one league. You haven't dropped him, right?
No, I did see him dropped in one league. I was a little surprised by that. I would say pick him up just for the chance that he does return. I wonder, though, if they lose this weekend, they fall to 3-7-1, do they just shut him down? Because what's the point? However, he is, I think, a few yards shy of 1,000 for six or 7 years in a row. I'll check that out.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I would imagine that's probably something that means a lot to him. So maybe he does try and return week 16, week 17, but that's not really going to help a lot of fantasy owners.
We've been saying it year after year. Wide receivers, they're so unpredictable. You can't take them in the first round. They always get hurt. Those damn wide receivers, you got to stick with the safe running backs.
964. It's going to be interesting next year's draft because I would imagine the top of the draft is going to be very running back heavy again. I mean,
those three guys are locks, and then there might be even more. McCoy, he's getting older, but he's
McCoy and Murray
so
you have to
good.
Worry about because I think they're both 29,
right?
Or they'll be 29, so they're getting to the cusp of it. I think they're still first round picks.
Well, I said this a few weeks ago on a Monday show. It's like when you did that Twitter poll, who is the number one running back next year? This year going in, there was a question mark around every first round running back. Zeke's a rookie. Bell's coming off the injury and he's suspended. He wasn't even a first round running back. David Johnson, people were worried about a second year slump and then this Chris Johnson stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson's old. Lamar Miller's never had the work. This next season, unless there are injuries in the last five
Bell,
weeks.
Bell, I believe his contract is up.
Oh,
so
okay. He'll be back.
Maybe. I would imagine Pittsburgh brings it back. He's the one I think that's third, unfortunately. As much as he's probably the best of the three, and this is no slight to Zeke or David Johnson, because of the suspension risk.
If
something happens to him, you know, you always have to keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
But I would say if he's no issues, he still might be third.
He might be.
Yeah.
I think in PPR, he might be first. Because he's on pace for 120 catches.
Yeah, I mean he's
it's incredible.
But yeah, I think
that would obviously go down. But
and there may be a lot of changes happening Arizona.
Sure, sure. But those guys seem much, like they're going to go into their next season, 2017, is pretty safe.
Yeah, but
for a fantasy player, for a running back,
you have Ajayi, who could be very good. You have Melvin Gordon, who's clearly established himself.
Marion McCoy. That's probably it, right?
Lamar Miller, I still think, is going to be in there. Gurley will still be up there. Not first round, but...
Gurley will be interesting. Can he bounce back? That's going to be the big topic.
He's still going to be a first three-round pick.
First three, yeah. All right. I have to tell you about the Nintendo. I got to send a shout-out. You remember Ricky sent us that very emotional email last year?
Yes.
And great listener, friend now of the show. Bought two Nintendo Classics.
Wow.
Emailed me, tweeted at me. He's giving me one.
Wow.
I'm buying it from him.
Wow.
Unbelievable, man.
That is...
Unbelievable. I hope we cross paths.
Where does Ricky live?
Oh, I forget. I think he's a Broncos fan, so he might live in Colorado.
I think if Ricky's ever in Florida.
Yeah, or New York.
New York, you have to take him out for dinner.
Absolutely.
In Florida, Blue Apron at your house.
yeah, cooking dinner.
In Florida, if he's ever down here, that's a gesture and a half right there.
That's awesome.
And we've had a lot of great gestures. And,
yeah.
And obviously that invitation goes to anybody that's done something kind to us. We will reciprocate.
Yeah, send me any electronic thing.
Well, I mean, I think I don't want to get this wrong, and I apologize. I think it was Sam Shepard was the one who sent the pizza.
Yeah, it was.
So like,
that's awesome.
If Sam's ever... In the Florida area, we welcome him in. And by the way, if he did ever come into the show and sit in on the show and was part of the show, saying this in advance, does that mean we have to claim him or he belongs to somebody
else? Oh, God, I knew you were going to bring that up. Who knew? I had no idea. I people probably don't know what we're talking about, but I'm not going to start a Twitter war.
I was trying to be respectful in how I said it.
All right, let's get the faith-o-meter out. All right,
catching up on some news. Laremy Tunsil, according to Ian Rappaport, expected to play. Shoulder injury not considered serious. And Mark Ingram is expected to practice on Wednesday.
I just kind of want hides. I want one of them out of the picture.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
All right, the faith-o-meter. I want to know how much faith you have, not this week, but rest of the season in these somewhat frustrating players. Carlos Hyde is averaging 3.8 yards per carry. He's mostly been good, but when he's bad, he is terrible. At Miami, at Chicago, Jets, at the Falcons, at the Rams, Seahawks in week 17. 0 to 10, how much faith do you have in Carlos Hyde?
8.
Yeah?
I mean, the thing is they still run when they're behind, and I think when he's been bad, first off, he's been bad. I think a couple times he's been hurt. One was coming off of the injury where he missed the game with the shoulder problem. And then the game where he got hurt initially. Those are his two worst games, I believe. He had a bad game against Carolina.
Carolina, early in the season.
But I was just looking at this yesterday. The Dolphins have allowed a running back good production each of the last three games. And I think he's just in one of those situations where he may not be what we hoped he could be. Or maybe he may not be every week when he's at his best. But there are still some circumstances where he'll be a very safe starter for you. Like his floor, I think, when he's running well is about 8 points.
Yeah.
His ceiling is certainly much higher than that.
Talk about a ceiling of 8 points. This next guy, I almost want to put him on the drop-o-meter, but on the faith-o-meter, how much in Emmanuel Sanders, who has two good weeks all year, scored three touchdowns at 205 yards on 17 catches in weeks 3 and 4 at Cincinnati and at Tampa Bay, and that's really been the only time you've been happy with Emmanuel Sanders. Kansas City, at Jacksonville, at Tennessee, that's great. New England, at Kansas City in week 16. And Oakland in week 17. What do you think?
I mean, I had him as a number three receiver coming into the season, so he wasn't a must-start guy for me anyway. And he's kind of been what I expected. A couple good weeks.
How much faith?
Oh, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Stop playing footsies with me.
Thank Sorry, you. That was really weird. That's awful. I touched Jamie's feet. It was gross. Issues. How about Michael Thomas? Been struggling a bit lately. 3 of his last 4 have been bad.
Yeah. 6. I think, I don't think they did the right thing last week, whether it was because of the two fumbles going away from him in the game against Carolina. Because you see when the ball's thrown near him, his catch radius is great. There seems to be a lot of trust between him and Breeze. I have him probably ranked a little too high this week. He's in my top 15. But I think there's still a chance for him in this offense to be very good.
They've got the Rams at home. And they have home game with Tampa Bay in week 16 could be very nice, and Detroit next week. Latavius Murray. How much faith do you have in Latavius Murray?
Well, he was my first bust start of the week call. He was our start of the week last week, and he finished with 8 fantasy points, just outside the top 24. So it wasn't like completely horrible. But the workload was very weird. I mean, they had opportunities to give him the ball inside the 5, didn't do it.
And, that was weird to me.
And then, you know, it took – he almost broke one at the end of the game, the fourth down run.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, please.
And then they had the long catch and run at the end of the
game.
That was huge. So he still – and the funny thing is, like, people – when I was apologizing on Twitter to our audience, and they said, oh, it's not your fault. You know, he's they didn't use him the right way. Well, when you look back on it, you're going to see the game log, 17 touches. And
when they had the ball for like 26 minutes, they got dominated. I mean, no, less than that, like 24 minutes.
There's a lot of fluky things that went on in that game, laser pointers and not.
I still think his workload was encouraging because he had 13 carries and nobody else had more than like four.
He's still their guy, and I'm not going to go away from him this week in his matchup, but I still think that there's got to be a little bit of doubt just because they get a little weird.
He had 12 carries, by the way. I was wrong, not 13. So 0 to 10.
Faith?
Yeah.
Oh, 8.
Okay. And here's an interesting one. Worried we might be a little bit high on, I don't know where the rankings are, but just the fantasy community in general after last week, which was a brilliant matchup. Rishard Matthews. He's 79% owned. And, you know, fewer than 8 fantasy points in standard once in his last 8 games. That's tremendous. But last week was the first time he really like went crazy with 122 yards. Didn't score, ironically. Faith-o-meter in Rishard Matthews.
6.
Yeah.
I think you look at it, they're starting to become a pattern here, and it's very similar to, not to the same height, same ceiling, but Eric Decker was like this last year too, you know, where it was touchdown and like 30 or 40 yards, and when he didn't have the touchdown, it was like 80 yards or more. And so it's kind of feeling the same way. And so I don't think you could look at Mariota and say, oh my God, I love the way he's playing, and not feel somewhat good about Rishard Matthews, because he's clearly been their second-best guy behind Delaney Walker. The one cause would be is that we're starting to see Tajae Sharpe come on a little bit.
Yeah.
And so if there's a Kendall Wright touchdown and a Tajae Sharpe play and Delaney Walker's going and they're running the ball, does Matthews maybe have a 2 or 3-game stretch in him where he gets left out? And we have to see that first. I think he's kind of a – if you call him a safe number 3, I think you're in great shape. But if you're considering him a must-start guy, like I – picked him up a couple weeks ago because of bye weeks and then just lost AJ Green in that same league, and I'm 10-1. He's now going to be a weekly starter for me until I figure out what happens with Green.
All right, but here's the thing. This is going to be the last – well, maybe we'll do it a little bit next week depending on the types of emails we get, but this is probably the last time we're going to really talk buy low, sell high, because I know the trade deadline is really coming up. I think this is the last chance you have to sell your Titans, and because they've got the Bears this week, that should be great, but a bye mm-hmm. and then Denver – and then at Kansas City. And then week 16 is at Jacksonville, which is fine. I think Mariota had a good game against Jacksonville, but...
Yeah, great game. Thursday night.
Right. That's right. He had a huge game. So I don't know that you need to fear it. Jacksonville, their offense is so bad that I think teams just end up putting up points because, you know, Jacksonville isn't, if that makes sense. But by Denver at Kansas City is a little scary. So there's a good chance that when... I'm not talking about DeMarco Murray, by the way. But when you own Mariota, if you own Rishard Matthews, maybe you don't need them just because you picked them up as a free agent in a lot of cases.
So you're trading them?
You could. You could. It's not a blanket statement. You have to. People need to be aware.
Well, I will say this, that if Mariota's on your bench right now, you should go to the Andrew Luck owner right away and say,
yes,
here,
exactly.
I'll give you Mariota. Give me X, and let's make a deal.
And I think now's
and
the time.
And the AJ Green owner, too, with Matthews.
Yeah, and try to buy low on the Chargers coming off a bye. Their playoff schedule in their passing game is ridiculous. At Houston this week, okay, you don't love the matchup. But Tampa Bay, at Carolina, Oakland, at Cleveland. That's weeks 13 through 16.
I just fear, because we've seen this, was the last game for the Chargers the start of the unfolding as we've seen from Rivers in the past?
Didn't he do fine? That was against the Dolphins?
He had a good fantasy day, but he had the 4-interception day against Miami, and they completely confused him. Now, granted, that's Adam Gase knowing Mike McCoy, and there's a lot of that went into it.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Because we've seen it from him now 3 years in a row.
Yeah. Last year it was tied to Keenan Allen.
But he's losing guys left and right.
Benjamin's back, which is actually the only thing that actually makes me a little concerned about Tyrell Williams.
Because another mouth to feed.
Yeah. I think Williams
and Henry,
is clearly their
and
number
Henry
one
too.
Henry, too.
Yeah.
But the passing game schedule is great. I don't know. The Chargers, I still think, are a good team. They're having a good year. They've had bad luck, but they fight. I hope not. I hope it doesn't happen.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it's got to stay away from these guys. But they also have a run game, too. And that's something they haven't had in years past.
Is there anyone you want to talk about that you think could have a big finish? I did a lot of schedule analysis, which we're going to talk about now. Then we'll preview the games, and then we're going to finish with what fantasy owners are thankful for and some email stuff. Also, I have, a pretty good FanDuel lineup for the Thursday slate. But were there any buy lows or sell highs that you want to talk about as we get into the stretch run here?
No, we'll just go through the schedule.
All right, yeah, let's go through the schedule because I looked at basically the best defenses, Seattle, Arizona, Denver, Minnesota. Then I looked at specifically run defenses, Baltimore, the Jets, Carolina, the Giants. I put them up there because I think they're a pretty good defense. And fantasy points to a quarterback bear that out. And the Chiefs, we know, terrible for tight ends. The one you'd really have to worry about would be Delanie Walker, who has the Chiefs in week 15. Some of the takeaways, Todd Gurley has – now, Todd Gurley's schedule could vary. His strength of schedule could vary depending on your playoffs. If you're weeks 14 through 16, not that bad because he has San Francisco in week 16. But if you're weeks 15 through 17, Seattle week 15, San Francisco week 16, Arizona, week 17. So keep that in mind if you're Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. Delanie Walker, on paper, has a brutal schedule. The Bears, the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Jaguars, and the Texans, all right now very good against tight ends. Did a little more digging, though. Bears, not so much. They've given up a touchdown in two straight games. Bye week, Broncos. Broncos haven't faced great tight ends, and they've given up touchdowns to the Chargers twice. And
that's
seven,
it though, right?
7 for 73 to Greg Olsen. So I think Walker could get you something like that.
He'd probably be in the Olsen range.
The Jaguars are good. They haven't given up more than 7 fantasy points to any tight end except for Ebron, who had the rushing touchdown.
Right. That's how we expect all our tight ends to score.
Yeah, and that's week 16, I believe. And then Houston haven't been quite as good against tight ends lately. But it's not a great schedule for Walker. I know he's hard to bench. Greg Olsen has a very good schedule. Oakland coming up. Seattle, their 10th. San Diego, they're 8th, but they haven't faced any good tight ends, really. Washington, Atlanta, Tampa Bay in weeks 15, 16, and 17. Olsen's got a great schedule. Cameron Brate, if you play into week 17, it even gets better. But Cameron Brate has a great schedule after Seattle this week.
I don't know if Seattle's that bad, to be honest.
Might not be that bad.
If Thomas is out.
You're right, and Sean Shedd's going to be out too. But yeah, Earl Thomas out. San Diego, New Orleans, Dallas, New Orleans, and Carolina. We've been talking about that forever. I love Dak Prescott's schedule after week 14. So Washington this week should be good. Mm-hmm. Then he's got Minnesota and the Giants. Those two teams are top four against quarterbacks. But then after that, weeks 15, 16, and 17. And I'm not sure I fear him at the Giants, honestly. I think he'll be all right. Weeks 15, 16, 17 are brilliant for Prescott. Tampa Bay and – oh, actually, sorry, just weeks 15 and 16. At Philadelphia in week 17 could be tough. Blake Bortles, a guy I dropped yesterday because I have luck, and I dropped Bortles for Kaepernick and Tannehill. Talked about that. So Buffalo on the road this week. I don't think you want to start him. Denver, nah, I don't think you want to start him. Minnesota, I don't think you want to start him. At Houston, scored 21 fantasy points against Houston. That's week 14. That's week 15. Week 16, Tennessee. 35 fantasy points against Tennessee.
It was
earlier.
So ugly.
Yeah, it was. Indianapolis in week 17, mm-hmm. 29 fantasy points. So if you are in a league that it goes 15, 16, 17, Bortles, believe it or not, has great fantasy matchups.
I wonder if he makes it there.
Agreed. Packers, like we said, have a tough schedule. At the Eagles, Houston, Seattle, at Chicago, that's nice, Minnesota, and then at Detroit. So you're looking in their playoffs, Seattle week 14, Minnesota week 16, both at home. And LeGarrette Blount may have a tough schedule. I don't know how you feel about this, but at the Jets this week?
No.
Not worried?
No.
Rams?
Mm.
Baltimore?
Mm.
At Denver?
Mm.
At the Jets?
The Baltimore one's tough.
You're not worried about the Jets?
No. I think they're in total meltdown mode. This is going to be a real telling week for them.
Okay.
I mean, would you have said Blount against Seattle would have been tough.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns.
That's the type of player he is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm still not opposed to selling him, especially in PPR.
Oh, he's a definite sell high guy. because Deion Lewis may start to eat into his workload a little bit.
What would you give up for Deion Lewis right now? Would you give up Rishard Matthews?
If I didn't need him, I'd speculate on if I needed a running back, sure.
It's a little risky, but it's high reward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so look, it's not as clear what to do for the fantasy playoffs. It's a little difficult to plan. You stick with what got you there. And, you know, to a degree, you know, yesterday, like I said, didn't pick up that many guys off waivers because there are no buys. And if my team's good, I got good players. Most of the guys I want are owned anyway, like Devontae Parker's owned. There's one guy that I'm still the only idiot that still has faith, but Michael Floyd, I still think could have a big finish because they have really good matchups coming up.
I don't know how much of it is on him anymore, to be honest with you.
I know, but again, the yards have been there for Palmer before the Minnesota game. Just, I know, things have not gone their way. So, all right, playoff help. I don't know what else to, this sucks. Week 14. You want a quarterback with a great matchup? The five quarterbacks facing the worst pass defenses, fantasy pass defenses in terms of quarterback points: Andy Dalton, Jared Goff, Brock Osweiler, Matt Barkley, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Wow. That's your waiver wire for week 14. And then I talked about week 15 when Luck, Brady, and Breeze have tough matchups. Kaepernick and Taylor have good ones. Week 16, you're going to want to sit Eli Manning at Philadelphia on Thursday. Palmer's at Seattle. Wilson's hosting Arizona. That should be all right. And Rodgers hosts Minnesota. So Bortles, Cam has a good matchup. Prescott, Carr. Like, there just wasn't much that I could give to fantasy owners.
I mean, it's going to be an interesting finish for a lot of owners that have gotten great production from several players, and then they're going to run into some buzzsaw situations where,
yeah,
you know, you just have to understand that you got to hope that you're not facing a juggernaut on the other side that has great matchups with great players.
Heath has to win to get in the podcast league. I think he needs to win this week. He's facing a team that has both Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson in a PPR league.
Is that Frank the Clown?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I just faced somebody that I got destroyed by, and that was with Rodgers, Zeke.
You have a great team. If Devontae Booker's good, you have a great team. You gonna make the playoffs?
I don't know. I'll check.
All right. All right, so let's get into the Thanksgiving games here. I'm sorry, I don't know that we were much help with the fantasy playoffs, getting your lineup set, but...
It's just food for thought.
It is right. It is food for thought. You do what you want with it.
I think most leagues, I don't know about yours, most leagues don't have like a lot of runaway teams in it.
I was saying my flex league, I don't know if I said this on the air, but the flex league with the industry experts, so to speak, there's like one 9-3 team, two kind of bad teams. 9 of the 12 teams are somewhere between 6-5 and 4-6, or maybe... 6-5 and 5-6.
It's
incredible.
Like, I'm just looking at our podcast league here. A Die Hard Christmas,
yeah,
is 9-2, and then there's 2 7-4 teams, and then there's 1 2 3 4 5 6 and 5 teams, of which myself, Dave, and Heath are all in that mix.
What about Chris?
Chris is 5-6. And you,
and
my friend.
And there's me, 3-8.
Are the second worst team in this league.
Keenan Allen. I'll just blame it all on Keenan Allen, my first round pick.
Yeah, but your other choice was Charles. So it would have been
right. No, I went with Keenan Allen and Mike Evans,
right,
who I traded for Jay Ajayi. So whatever. Defending champ does not do very well. And no team goes into the season without a game plan. It seemed like I didn't have a game plan for the podcast league. Now, if they did, game day highlights would be nothing more than a football follies compilation. And those can be hilarious, but Buffalo Wild Wings knows that fans prefer the taste of glory on game day. That's the kind of glory that comes with having 21 signature sauces and seasonings to choose from, or a great lineup of cold and refreshing beers on tap, or my favorite part, wall-to-wall flat screens so big it would make your head spin. We cover all of those details so they add up to the kind of game day experience that fans can appreciate, and we do it because we appreciate fans. So win or lose, if you're a fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere there is. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, we do it for you because you're a football fan. All right, getting into the games here. I want to pull up my FanDuel lineup just so I can tell you how I'm feeling about the games.
Okay.
And I know I have Cousins as my quarterback. This is a Thursday-only contest here, so just 3 games. I got a couple guys that make me a little nervous. I didn't think about it until after the fact.
Okay.
So it seems like my lineup didn't save. And I no longer have it. Oh, no, here we go. Cousins, Zeke, guy I'm nervous about, number one, Fat Rob Kelly.
Why are you nervous about him?
He's gotten 20 carries in 3 straight games. He's been very good for fantasy. Not one running back has gotten 20 carries against the Cowboys this year. They dominate time of possession. They give up the sixth fewest fantasy points to running backs, third fewest.
Kind of fluky, though.
It's not that they have a good run defense. Mm-hmm. 4.2 yards per carry. When you look at the leaders in rush yards per game, they stick out like a sore thumb in yards per carry. They don't get run on a lot. So that's my concern. What if he gets 15 carries? Should still be good, but Fat Rob and Zeke are my running backs. Cousins, my quarterback. Crowder, love. Antonio Brown, he's bouncing back. Dez Bryant, slightly nervous.
Why?
Josh Norman.
Yeah. I think great receivers tend to.
Yeah. Now, good. Dez had a big game against them in week two, but
that
I don't.
Was all on Breland.
Yeah, right.
Not all of it. Most
and
of
if they if they stick with that and they don't move Norman around, I think they will, though. Just my
this
guess.
This week, I would say.
This week, right. A little nervous.
I'll tell you what. At the top of my rank list, Bryant's still in my top 10. I think he's in my top 5.
Yeah.
And Julio, both guys have tough matchups.
Right.
And Mike Evans.
And think about that. Right.
Evans has Sherman.
I haven't quite gotten to all those games yet.
Evans has Sherman.
Yeah.
Julio's got Peterson.
Yeah.
And Dez has Norman.
Damn.
I think Dez is back to me, Dez, though.
I hope so. And you guys, all three of you have Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins back-to-back with Prescott one spot ahead, like 7-8, 7-8, 8-9.
He's so good.
Yeah, he is. There's nothing you can really say anymore. I don't know who to root for in this game. That's another, like, I don't know who the Giants should be rooting for at this point. Because the Redskins are a playoff team right now.
They all are.
Yeah, all three of them. All right, I also have...
Do you think all three get in?
I think the Giants get in because they're going to beat the Browns. That brings them to 8 wins. They only need 10 gets you in, I think. I haven't looked at this at the...
Because at this point, it's looking like one team from the NFC North is going to get in.
Yeah, I think they're all going to get in. The rest of the conference is pretty weak.
NFC
the Panthers
South.
Scare me a little.
NFC, well, you also have Tampa Bay to worry about, too.
Nah, I can't win at home. I think they're all going to get in. I'll go ahead and say that now. All right, so let's get into these games here. I have Eric Ebron, Dan Bailey, and the Steelers. Steelers defense is extremely obvious, I think, just because of the price. Minnesota at Detroit. Happy Matsgiving, Jamie. These are Matthew Stafford's last four Thanksgiving performances. 29 fantasy points, 27, 27, 43. However, the teams that he played, these were their ranks in pass defense at the end of the year. I don't know how they were playing on Thanksgiving. 16th, 24th, 30th, 28th. So 28th. He's had three great matchups, one average matchup. Not the
I
same this year.
I think he had a guy on his team that was
he
pretty
He did have
good.
Calvin Johnson, but you know, I just buy into it. I can't believe how low. He's outside your top 20. I don't even know if he's in your top 24.
Can't trust
Not starting Stafford?
No way.
All right.
you know what? He was good coming off a bye, too, in his career prior to last week.
All right, all right, yeah.
Who are you saying that he can get winning production from?
Oh, a lot of guys. Riddick, Ebron, Tate, not Marvin Jones.
He played really well against Minnesota the last time these two teams played.
And twice took, last year, and 23 took, and 22 fantasy
and
points.
And it took five quarters for him to get
yeah,
10 fantasy was, oh, was like eight plus fantasy points. You just seen the glee on Dave Richards'
I know,
face.
I know.
This was our bet. This was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. The glee on that kid's face.
Yeah.
When he got that touchdown to Golden Tate after doing nothing. I think he had 8 fantasy points through three and three-fourths of that game.
Yeah. All right. So you're not starting him. That's
you would
fine.
Start him?
No, I would think about it over Tannehill. But okay.
Just because of his Thanksgiving
yeah.
Day history?
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. But I feel like they weren't really having that good of a year last year. And then... Thanksgiving threw 5 touchdowns. I know Calvin wasn't.
But that was against who?
Eagles.
And they were terrible.
They were terrible. I know. Okay, so forget it. Minnesota running backs, any interest here? Yeah, it's interesting to me that McKinnon had 16 carries. Oh, why did I go back to Minnesota? Let's go to Minnesota. Sam Bradford, don't start him. Minnesota running backs, Asiata has a touchdown in 3 straight games. McKinnon had 16 carries in week 11. Any interest here?
No, okay. None.
Stephon Diggs. So tell me how you're approaching him.
Plays, I think he's certainly a must-start in PPR. Low end number 2, flex option in standard leagues.
Crowder or Diggs?
Crowder. Even healthy.
Beasley or Diggs?
Crowder. Diggs.
Okay.
Still.
Tyrell Williams or Diggs?
Diggs.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Kyle Rudolph. You a little higher than I anticipated on him. All three of you have Rudolph right around sixth.
Detroit gives up touchdowns.
They do.
Tight ends.
And they gave up one to him. It was his only catch of the game. It was 1 yard, right?
Yep. No, 6 yards, I think, yeah.
Okay. So, but it was, you know, he didn't even get a fantasy point on the yards. Nine touchdowns, most touchdowns allowed to tight ends by Detroit, but not a lot of yards, 16th in yards per game. Rudolph just hasn't been very good lately. I dropped him.
Well, 2 weeks ago, he was very good. 2 weeks ago, he cost me a fantasy game because I dropped him to pick up Zach Ertz. Had I stuck with Rudolph, I win.
By the way, Ertz is the guy that you picked up. They got picked up in all of our leagues where he was available. Has a great upcoming schedule. All right, so Rudolph you like. Rudolph or Ertz?
Rudolph this week.
Okay.
But both,
Also, Rudolph did have a touchdown call back on, a legal formation last week.
Would have been the first one against Arizona all season.
Ah, and that's when Thielen caught the touchdown right after that. Stafford, no. Theoretic, how do you feel about him?
Low end number two in standard, must start PPR.
Yeah. His best rushing game, oddly enough, came against the Vikings, 14 carries for 70 yards. And Minnesota allows 4.2 yards per carry, middle of the pack in fantasy points allowed to running backs. I don't know that it's an impenetrable run defense, but Dwayne Washington, we're not starting. And the Detroit wide receivers, do you like any of them better than Stephon Diggs?
No.
Really?
Nope.
Okay. But Golden Tate with the butt stiff arm for the touchdown.
He's a number three receiver.
All right. Ebron or Rudolph? This is the one I disagreed with you on. But I think you have him back-to-back. You have Rudolph one spot ahead in standard. You have Ebron ahead in PPR, I think.
I mean, I just think that there's a better chance of Rudolph to score. And so that gives him a slight edge. But Ebron's better in PPR.
Ebron is the man. This guy's good.
He's finally come around, hasn't he?
Yeah. This is his second year, right?
This is his third year.
Third year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Breaking out. The DSTs start Minnesota's. You like Detroit's. Dave doesn't. You and Heath like Detroit's DST.
They get after quarterback enough in this matchup that I think we'll see the bad offensive line from Minnesota show up.
Could be a sloppy game.
Yeah, to me, it
Thursday
feels very
game.
Yeah, very low score.
Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. Ben Roethlisberger. You know, get it?
Because
he's on the road.
Yep.
That he
very
stinks
funny.
On the road.
Uh-huh.
Start or sit?
Start. I can't get away from him in this matchup.
Right?
You know, the funny thing is, it's not like he plays poorly on the road. His fantasy production is bad on the road. And you saw it in...
Oh, you have him fourth!
Full display.
Dave has him second! Heath has him fifth.
Full display in that game against Cleveland. Now, granted, the wind and the weather had a lot to do with it, but they ran the ball so well.
But they could run the ball so well.
See,
I thought he'd be more like eighth. I'm surprised you have him ahead of Prescott and Cousins. The Colts are just dreadful. They have the worst pass defense.
Vontae Davis
in the
playing on one leg.
Yeah, I get it.
You can't have the Antonio Brown bounce back game without Ben having.
Yeah, you can.
Good enough numbers.
Right. Well, he's a start. I'm surprised he's top five.
It's just indoors.
If he screws up this one.
Primetime game.
By the way, if you play into week 17, he is Cleveland at home. That's very nice. Start Le'Veon Bell?
I hear he's good.
Start Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I hear he's good.
Starter sit Eli Rogers?
I'm going back to the well. I was surprised that I'm the low guy on him.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, I know Heath's been really saying not only start him, but pick him up. Because worry about last week.
That was something that I wrote in the waiver column. I hope you guys expressed that in the notes I gave yesterday. It sounds like you did with what he's saying.
Yeah.
So. Last week's game to me is an aberration. He still had six targets in the game, still had four catches, just, you know, what, 20 yards, I think it was. 4 for 20. I think there's big bounce back potential here, sure.
All right, would you start a Bengals wide receiver or Eli Rogers?
Rogers.
Terrell Pryor or Eli Rogers?
Pryor.
Same game, Sterling Shepard or Eli Rogers?
Shepard.
The Giants Cleveland game I'm talking about. PPR, Fat Rob or Rodgers.
Still Kelly.
Frank Gore or Rodgers.
Still Gore.
All right. Let's go to don't start the tight ends for Pittsburgh. Let's go to the Colts. I'm a little nervous about Gore. I just feel like he's not running the ball well. 3.7-ish yards per carry in his last four games.
Not breaking tackles either.
Yeah. Fairly difficult matchups, but he relies on touchdowns.
Not recently, though.
Or receiving yards. Mm-hmm. He always finds a way. Frank Gore has been one of the most consistent players in fantasy. 2 games under 10 fantasy points, 1 game more than 14. So 7 out of 10 weeks is in the same 10 to 14 in standard.
And I think the one game, one of the, you said 2 under 10?
Yeah.
He had, I think it was like 75 yards rushing.
Oh, okay.
And it was one of his better running days.
Oh, okay. So I start him every week, but I'm worried this week because Luck makes him. I think a lot of times. Luck throws to him in the end zone. I think that they could get absolutely trounced. I think Tolzien could be terrible. I don't know. Maybe he'll be okay. I think he'll be terrible.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of gray because we just don't know what.
Short week to prepare.
That's usually good for running backs, though. And
but it's bad for Tolzien, I mean.
Right. But I still think good for running backs. They'll probably lean on him maybe a little bit more. And look.
Yeah, I just don't trust him to run well.
We were talking about this last week, and it blew up in our face. Of, oh, maybe Crowell is good because no Hayward for the Steelers. Their run defense actually wasn't great even when Hayward was playing. And, you know, you had Hugh Jackson saying they're going to give him more work. Gore, you know kind of what his workload is going to be. It's going to be right around 15 touches, maybe 20 on a good week.
I'm hoping for checkdowns. I'm hoping for some short catches because Tolzien sucks and he throws, you know, throws some short checkdowns to him. All right, so let me give you names. Frank Gore or Deion Lewis?
Oh, Gore. Can't trust Lewis right now.
Gore or Rawls?
Rawls.
Gore or Rashad Jennings?
Jennings.
Okay. Interesting. Gore or Gurley? Are you in back-to-back?
I still feel more comfortable with Gore. You know what you're getting.
Okay.
Even though Gurley has the Saints. I may reevaluate that.
And you're starting Hilton? Kind of reluctantly?
Yeah. Look, Tolzien's a wild card. And could be one of those scenarios of chasing points, throwing all day. You know, it's just hard to get away from somebody's. It's like when, you know, Antonio Brown doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger. You're not benching him.
It's kind of funny how you talk about Eli Rogers, like you know, you're excited. There's like a, you know, a nice little bounce in your voice, in your step. And if I asked you about Dante Moncrief, it would probably be more of like a doom and gloom. And you have them back to back in your rankings.
Yeah, that's one that I think I need to reevaluate is Rogers over Moncrief.
You're gonna go Rogers over Moncrief?
Yeah. And, like, you know, going back to.
But they're
going to
be in the same range. It's just based on expectations.
They're number three receivers. I mean.
You're excited about taking the flyer on Eli Rogers. You're nervous about starting Dante.
Well, I mean, look.
It's not criticism.
To be Debbie Downer on Rogers is the Roethlisberger on the road situation. You know, Rogers' 2 best games recently have come at home.
Yeah.
Or was that game in Baltimore or at Baltimore? I forget.
At Baltimore.
It was at Baltimore. So, you know, that's a road game for you where he scored.
Right. Okay. So those guys are number three wide receivers. Sit Jack Doyle and the Steelers DST. Steelers or Seahawks?
Oh, Seahawks.
Cardinals.
Steelers.
Yeah, all right. So you can definitely start them. Washington at Dallas. We like the quarterbacks in this game. You like Rob Kelly. You're not concerned. You like Zeke. You like Dez. Let's talk about Redskins receivers.
Well, Beasley's in that same range of Rodgers and those guys. I think there's just a good enough track record for him. And
well, how does he compare to Deshaun and Garcon? I know you like Crowder the best.
I like Beasley better than Deshaun and Garcon. So Garcon to me is a little bit fluky because he had the long touchdown catch last week.
So it's Dez. In this game, it's Dez, Crowder, Beasley?
Beasley, Deshaun, Garcon.
Okay. And would you start Beasley or Todd Gurley in a PPR league?
Well, that's a good one. Beasley.
Beasley or Willie Snead?
Beasley.
Let me give it one more running back. Would you start Crowder or Jay Ajayi?
Ajayi. 49ers are terrible.
They are bad. Please don't say Rashad Jennings. Crowder or Rashad Jennings?
Such a good matchup for Jennings.
I know, and they might get Justin Pugh, their best offensive lineman, back.
He had 5 catches last week, too.
He did, I know.
I'm going to go Jennings.
Ah! All right. I just think Crowder is so safe. The only thing that scares me is it's Thursday, but...
But you know what, though, last week? It was 3 catches.
I know. I noticed that, but it's this particular matchup.
Yeah,
slot.
He scored against them the last time, and yes, the slot against Dallas, we were talking about all last week with Steve Smith. He delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crowder is very safe this week.
All right, you want to sit the DSTs here. Jordan Reed, cool with?
Yes. I mean, he had 70 yards, 5 catches, 79 yards. And I think the Vernon Davis thing is done with Jackson healthy.
All right. So that's it for these games. Enjoy them, everybody. And happy Thanksgiving. So let's finish off with what fantasy owners are thankful for. We might go a little bit long today so we can read some emails and tweets. I hope you have enjoyed today's show. It took a lot of work. It's such a shame because I did a lot of work on those playoff matchups, and I just Unfortunately, I don't know that we had so many interesting takeaways, but I tried.
It's hard to, you know, when you're looking 3-4 weeks ahead
yeah.
of something that, I mean, think about it. The Packers' run defense, it was so good, and now it stinks. Yeah. And the Steelers' run defense started out good, and now it stinks.
I know.
You know, things like that happen.
All right, Fantasy Thanksgiving. Matt Massett is thankful for Mike Evans in the third round. That's pretty good. David Bear, among many, many, many others, is thankful for DeMarco Murray, one of the true draft steals.
Yep. It's funny. I was looking back at this, like, how many people are having big years because of drafting DeMarco Murray and Melvin Gordon in that 4 or 5 round range?
Yes.
And just how great they've been. And I was the you know, low guy on Murray, clearly.
But the high guy on Gordon.
Yes, but they both have just been awesome, week in, week out, consistent.
Timothy is thankful for Team Name Tuesday and how angry it makes Dave, Heath, and Jamie.
It doesn't really make me angry.
It doesn't make anybody angry. It's a big
no,
gag.
No, Dave and Heath, I think, get angry.
They do it because they think it's funny to be angry.
Yeah.
Your friend Dave, I'm grateful for the opportunity fantasy gives me to grind my friend's self-esteem into dust every single week.
Nice.
Yeah. Brian Schlatter picked up Matt Ryan in week 2 on accident. Don't know how that happened, but he's thankful for that. You know what? We said at the beginning of the year, sell high on Matt Ryan. I think even Heath probably said that. He was the high guy because he had these great matchups at the beginning of the year, and he just kept it going. It was a little surprising. Good for him. Kyle, I'm thankful that there's only a few weeks left of Team Name Tuesday. Connor Sullivan, I'm thankful for the podcast. You guys always make my day a little better and provide entertaining fantasy insight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. Mello, I'm thankful for DeMarco, DJ, Evans, Fat Rob, Marcus Mariota, and last but not least, Cats. Yeah. John DeCarli, I'm thankful I drafted Greg Olson. I can leave tight end on autopilot for a round 4 or 5 pick and get good production all year. It was worth it. He's been struggling a little bit lately.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, it's nice to have peace of mind at tight end. And Bo Blaker, I'm thankful for drafting Melvin Gordon in round 11 and getting star running back production. All right, emails and tweets to finish the show.
What are you thankful for, Adam?
I'm thankful for CBS allowing me to continue to do the podcast in New York. Thankful for that every day. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that while I work really hard to make the show as good as possible, I know that if I miss something, the guys on the show know you guys are easy to work with. You know everything. So I'm thankful
it very well.
For you guys to make my job easy. Mm-hmm. I don't let it be easy, but thankful for the listeners, obviously. They make us what we are. Thankful for the sponsors, in all seriousness. I mean, it's important.
Right, Blue Apron.
No, all of them. I mean, we have great sponsors.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. I'm thankful for The Night Of, which I just started and 4 episodes in. Looking forward to finishing that next week. And I'm thankful for hopefully a good diagnosis when I go to the doctor today on my broken toe so I can play tomorrow in football.
What if they tell you no? You still going to play?
I think so. I'll probably play quarterback.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it won't be good for anyone. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful for my family. I just making it podcast specific.
Yes. I'm thankful for the great coworkers that and analysts that we work with.
We really are. It's been a great ride. I mean, unbelievable how lucky we've been here at CBS.
10 years with Dave. I think 7 or 8 years with you. Heath and Chris, you know, joining the show over the last couple of years, and the people we used to work with too. Nando certainly is always, and I think, brought a lot to what our show is now. But I think most importantly, you know, you get a lot of crap from us, jokes and stuff. You are the lifeblood of the show, and we are thankful to work with someone as professional and as great as you are. And I say this, and I tell you this all the time. I think if you were just a fantasy analyst, you'd be among the best in the business.
I don't know about that.
No, I do know that.
I had Greg Roman being the offensive coordinator yesterday, so.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You make some mistakes.
So, yeah, oops.
I'm obviously thankful for our listeners, you know, especially recently, all the people that have reached out to me in terms of my finger. the well wishes, I appreciate that tremendously. Thank you for your care and concern. And our listeners and all of the people who are, and we get a lot of people recognize we do this, but our military, you know, just the fact that they take time out to listen to us while they're
it's incredible.
I mean, just it's the best part of our job is this show,
right?
Yes,
it's the best, and it's basically my only job, so I have a great job, plus fantasy baseball. So I was going to read some emails and tweets, but I have to apologize. We got to get out of here because Nick and Will have to record the Roughing the Passer podcast. So if you want some help with your picks this week, please listen to the Roughing the Passer podcast. It's a great, great listen. So thank you all for all of your emails. I'll try to read some with Heath on the Thursday show, which will be recorded Wednesday. And if not, I'll go ahead and respond to a lot of them personally. For Jamie Eisberg, I'm Adam Azer. See you later. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes. Bye.